Welcome to the Entrepreneur Hot Seat, where I talk to entrepreneurs and business people from all walks of life and all levels of success, from millionaires to the people who are just starting out, and everyone in between. My objective is not only to learn about their businesses and goals, but about their challenges and fears as well, all with the hopes of helping them and you find a pathway to success.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Entrepreneur Hot Seat. I am your host, Andy Storch, and I am thrilled that you're joining me today because I have a special treat for you, a conversation with my good friend, Cliff Ravenscraft. And Cliff, if you don't know him, is an entrepreneur, a podcaster, a business and life coach who began podcasting in 2005 and left his job to pursue his passion full time in 2006. Known as the Podcast Answer Man, Cliff has helped tens of thousands of individuals successfully launch podcasts through coaching and courses. And today, Cliff has moved beyond podcasting to focus on mentoring and coaching new entrepreneurs through the transition from being fully employed to running their own successful online business so that they can live the life of their dreams and do the work they feel most called to do in the world. Cliff, welcome to the Entrepreneur Hot Seat.
Andy, thank you so much, man. I'm stoked to be here.
Oh, man. I am absolutely pumped as well. I've been listening to you for a long time. I have had the pleasure of meeting you in person when we had lunch together in Anaheim just a few months ago at the Podcast Movement Conference. And my wife, Courtney, actually attended one of your Next Level workshops just a couple months ago back in November and said some great things and came away with a lot of great ideas for her own business that she shared with me. And having followed your journey, I know you've done a lot of things to build your own business as an entrepreneur and been helping a lot of entrepreneurs. So excited to bring that message and some value to some of my listeners today. So I thought for those that don't know you, we could start with a little bit of your background. How did you get started in all this and get to where you are today?
Sure. So three things that I'll tell you about me that really set the stage for who I am today and how I got here. Let's back up all the way to my life prior to being self-employed. I worked as an insurance agent in an insurance agency owned by my mom and dad. That business, by the way, was started by my grandfather in 1937. So the expectation was high, I think, that I would, you know, take over the family business next. But I was an insurance agent for 12 years selling auto, home, life, and health insurance. And at the same time I was doing that, I was also involved in full-time ministry. So I was very much involved in ministry for more than 10 years as an associate pastor, starting out in this little tiny small Nazarene church, and then went over to a somewhat of a mega church here in our area, which is a 5,000 member church, and did that for 10 years. Felt like my true calling was to encourage other people through faith. So it wasn't necessarily my calling in life to be an insurance agent. I felt like my greatest mission and purpose in this world was to encourage others and inspire others and to use my faith to do so. And so I told my parents before I ever accepted their invitation to come work for them as an insurance agent, I said, listen, I'll come work for you as long as you understand one thing. If I'm ever offered an opportunity to become a full-time pastor, you have to be okay with the fact that I might leave regardless of how little I would be paid compared to what I'd be making with you guys. And they were cool with that, although, you know, I wondered if they would ever live up to that if the opportunity came. And then another thing to know about me, the third thing to set the stage is I've always been a tech geek. When I was a kid, I took apart every electronic toy that I could get my hands on to find out how it all works. And so I've just been a geek and an early adopter of technology. Started blogging, although it wasn't called blogging back then. We called them online journals. And it was right after HTML was announced and I hand-coded index files and created archive.xml files. It was just crazy. So anyway, well, we didn't have XML back then. We just had HTML. XML came in later. So I'm a geek. I'm a tech guy, faith-minded individual, and of course, insurance agent. That's who I was. I started working in the family-run insurance agency when my wife and I first got married. And when we first got married, I had lots of debt. My wife and I together built up even more debt But as I got into a career as an insurance agent, we found ourselves getting ahead of the minimum monthly payments. We discovered Dave Ramsey and got on the Dave Ramsey plan in February of 2007. We became completely 100% debt-free. And financially, I've got this career as an insurance agent. It's like, this is incredibly awesome. This is more than I could have ever dreamed of financially. But the thing is I never felt that I was truly fulfilled in that job. But I was convinced that I was. And I'll explain to you what I mean by that. I didn't seem to have any clear path, clear opportunity for me to live my lifelong dream of 10 years of becoming a full-time pastor. It didn't seem to be in the cards for me. However, what I discovered was that in December 2005, I decided to launch a podcast as a hobby. Now, I had already been discovered podcasting back in June of 2005, had subscribed to a ton of them, loved them, and my wife introduced me to the TV show Lost. I wasn't watching much TV at the time, but I started watching that show with her. I absolutely became obsessed with the show because of the mystery that they told and the hidden Easter eggs and clues and stuff like that. And they had a whole online story that they were telling as well. And I wondered if there was any podcast devoted to this TV show. And there were five. Now, there weren't a lot of podcasts back in 2005. But there were five podcasts devoted to the TV show Lost, if that tells you anything.
It was a popular show.
It was a very popular show. So I had already been blogging about it. And one day I decided to come up with a theory of my own about what was going on with this guy named Thomas and why, you know, all of a sudden the paintings in his apartment looked just like the mural in The Hatch. For anybody who watched Lost knows exactly what I'm talking about. And so I came up with the Thomas theory. And I had side-by-side screenshots from different episodes, backing up everything, picture on the mantelpiece and the adoption lady. I mean, I had it down. And so I created a 3.5-minute audio piece of feedback for one of these podcasts. It was the transmission in Hawaii. And Ryan and Jin Ozawa played my 3.5-minute audio file in their podcast. After doing so, the blog readership for my blog at the time went from about 100 visitors per month to about 1,000 visitors per week. So it just went through the roof. And not only that, somebody from Entertainment Weekly was listening to that podcast. They heard my theory, went to my website, and then decided to do an entire article on my theory at EW.com.
Nice.
Which, by the way, got the attention of Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse, the co-producers of the show, which I'm convinced they actually changed things in future seasons based upon podcast. I was on to them.
Nice.
But other people think that I'm crazy, although I'm convinced otherwise. So anyway, I started doing this with my wife. My wife introduced me to the show, so we podcasted together. By the third episode of our podcast, the other podcasters had gotten together already and created a combined RSS feed called the Lost Podcast Network. And they said, listen, we want to invite you and your wife. I mean, people are going crazy about your show. We want to have a one feed where somebody can subscribe and they get every episode that's related to the TV show Lost. You can still have your original feed. It's optional. You don't have to do this, but we've been doing it for a long time now and we've got a lot of people subscribe to it. So I put my third episode into their feed. I had already got about 1,000 subscribers to my Lost podcast by the second episode. But when I put that third episode out, I had my subscribers plus their subscribers all downloading the same MP3 file, 27,000 downloads.
Wow.
By the third episode. And I was like, oh my gosh, here I am, this guy in Northern Kentucky that nobody's ever heard of before. And now I have a worldwide audience of 27,000 people. And this TV show allowed my wife and I to get behind a microphone and just be ourselves and authentically talk about the themes of the show. I mean, sure, I talked about the Easter eggs, the mysteries, all the hidden clues. We talked about the theories. We talked about all the different stuff that was brought up. But we also got to talk about the themes of the show, such as there's an episode called All Good Cowboys Have Daddy Issues. Now, from my own backstory, I had some daddy issues growing up, or my wife had some daddy issues, and we got to just authentically share about those. There is a episode called Tabula Rasa, which is translated to clean slate. And it's this whole idea of being able to start over with a clean slate. And how does that fit to what they're telling in the story? But how does that also apply to us, you know, as individual human beings? And just through this show, we would get off topic quite a bit, but it was always instigated by the themes of the show. And some people who listened to our show absolutely loved it. A lot of people who listened to our show absolutely hated it. And so if you were to look up the written reviews for the Weekly Lost podcast, you'd see some pretty diverse opinions about our show in both directions. It took a lot for us to get used to. I had to grow some thick skin and stuff like that. But here's what started to happen, Andy, and this is what changed everything for me. I started getting emails from people all over the world. And these emails were telling us about how encouraging our content was to them and how it's helping change their mindset about certain things. And people started asking us questions. Could you go into more detail about this? It's very helpful to me. And I'm trying to process, how can I do this? We were working on becoming debt free. So this happened right before we became debt free. We were talking about it. And they said, hey, can you tell us more about this Dave Ramsey plan and how did you get debt free and stuff like that? And so, by the way, we created other podcasts to start answering questions that kept coming in over and over again. I started answering the emails as they came in. And as a result of that, I was spending hours and hours and hours every day, every single day.
Well, you had a full-time job.
While I have a full-time job and doing ministry as well. So I'm spending hours every day. And so we decided to start creating other podcasts that would allow us to do this. So I created a faith-based podcast. We created a family-focused podcast, all of these different shows. And it allowed us to actually answer these questions for people and put it out there for anybody who wanted to hear our responses to the questions that were coming in. And Andy, I got to tell you, it became very clear to me when I felt this calling to ministry, this serving others and encouraging others and inspiring others, this was more in line with what I felt that calling was. And the idea and the dream of becoming a, you know, full-time pastor one day, it became clear to me, this is the ministry. This is what I felt called to do. It didn't exist a couple years ago because podcasting didn't exist. But now this exists, and I love getting behind a microphone and communicating. I love communicating with people through email and interacting with them, coaching them, consulting with them, helping them, mentoring them. And so all of a sudden now I won't go into the long story details of why I ended up leaving the ministry position that I was in, but the associate pastor, I completely let that go so that I could focus on my day job and my podcasting stuff. And then it just got to the place where this was so fulfilling and people were starting to ask me, can you teach me how to podcast? And I was teaching them. And then people said, Cliff, you've got to let me pay you for teaching them how to podcast. And so I started charging people to learn how to podcast. And it got to the place where I was starting to make a few thousand dollars per month. If you add up the advertising income, the affiliate income, the coaching and consulting income, all of a sudden now I'm making a couple thousand dollars a month. It's nowhere close to where I was making as an insurance agent, but I was making some money. And all of a sudden this thought came across my mind. I wonder what life would be like if I didn't have to sell insurance and I could do this for a living instead. And by the way, when I say do this for a living instead, it wasn't go out and become the world's renowned podcast coach and consultant. Yeah. It was, I wonder what life would be like if I could not be distracted by this day job that has me serving 15 to 30 people a week, but instead will allow me to make a living supporting my wife and kids, doing this work that I feel most called to do in the world, where I'm literally reaching at, by that time, 60,000 people around the world.
Wow. Yep. And how can you do that full time and support your family?
Exactly. And so that's how I got started. I as soon as I started having those thoughts, I felt like, man, this just seems irresponsible. It seems like, you know, this seems like selfish. I've got this guaranteed income. My mom and dad own the agency. You talk about job security. You talk about financial security. I mean, I've got it all. And for me to think about leaving that so I could do something quote unquote more fulfilling, to pursue my hobby as a career, I didn't even want to speak that phrase out loud. I wonder what life would be like if I could do this for a living, but it just wouldn't go away. And so one day I told my wife that I started to have these thoughts and she goes, interesting. And I had a podcast called Pursuing a Balanced Life and I started talking about these thoughts in that show. And then all of a sudden, these people called entrepreneurs, I didn't even know what these people were, you know, because I had lived the lifetime of as an employee. I never gave much thought or consideration to the entrepreneurial lifestyle. Right. But these people had been self-employed their entire life, started to listen to my show and or started hearing me talk about this. And they say, Cliff, I'd love to jump on a 30 or 45 minute call with you and just tell you just flat out, yes, you can do this. And so I had these people who have tons of experience. They're literally millionaires who are saying, Cliff, you could do this. Here are five things you could do and you could leave your job next week and you could replace your income and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And every time somebody would have those conversations with me, I'd come home and tell Stephanie. Little did I know, Stephanie was being convinced. In my mind, I'm like, I intellectually agree with what you're saying, but in my heart, I just don't know that I have what it takes to make it not as an employee. I mean, it's like I kind of like knowing that I just had, you know, I show up, I do my job that I know I'm good at, and I get a paycheck. Yep. I kind of like that. And I get a, and don't get me wrong, I get a very nice paycheck.
Yep.
And, but man, it got to the place where all of a sudden I used to work 55, 60 hours a week in insurance. And I was started out with 10 to 15 hours a week devoted to the podcast stuff, which by the way, not just production, that's all the communication and community building and stuff like that. It got to the place where I would literally show up right when I had to be there. And as soon as I could leave the office, I would. So minimum 40 hour or maximum 40 hours a week is what I would work at the office. And I got to the place where I was working about 40 to 45 hours a week on top of that with all the stuff related to this podcast content, this community online stuff. And I just started to see the insurance, the day job as the distraction from what I really should be doing with my life.
Right.
And I had some really bad days in the office. As my mom and my dad and my sister and myself were the only four people in the agency. We were the agency with the actual annual revenue and client base of an agency that should have 10 to 12 employees, but there were four of us.
Whoa. So everybody was doing a lot of work while they were there.
I was doing the work of five people in an insurance agency, and so was everyone else in my office.
Wow.
Which was my mom, my dad. And so we were all stressed. We would hire people, but our family dynamic was unique. And so employees didn't last long, and we were all, every single one of us were perfectionists in the office. And so anybody who came in and failed to be perfect didn't fit too well.
I would not make it there.
Exactly. So the thing is not many people did. Well, obviously nobody did.
Right.
So what happened was it was starting to be a really toxic environment. One day I had this really awful day. It was September 2007. I came home and Stephanie says, "That's it." And I said, "What?" She says, "Tomorrow you're going in and putting your notice. You're telling your dad that you're leaving the job." And I said, "What are you talking about?" She goes, and I both know that your future is in this podcasting stuff that you're doing. There's a business here. We both know that that's what God's calling you to. It's very clear that this is the path that you're being called to go down. You've got all of these people who know what they're talking about telling you that you can make this happen. And be quite honest with you, the amount of hours that you're working and stuff, I need my husband back and the kids need their dad back. We had, by the way, when she said this, we had just gotten out of debt like 9 months before that. Yeah. So completely debt-free at this point. And she says, "Listen, if we have to sell our house and go and rent somewhere, then we sell our house. If I have to get a job and help bring some income in for a while, then I will go get a job. Now, my wife had been a stay-at-home mom for 7 years at that point, and we had 3 kids under the age of 8. Hmm. And she's the one who convinced me, you have to quit your job. So basically, my story of how I got into what I'm doing, my entrepreneurial lifestyle, is that I discovered my true calling and mission and purpose in life was to entertain, educate, encourage, and inspire others at scale, and to find a path and to find a way to provide an income that would support our family and the dreams and goals of our family. And it became quite clear that insurance was never going to be a fulfilling opportunity for me. It would be financially rewarding. Yeah. But it ultimately got to the place where every day I hated to go to the day job.
Yeah. And you needed to do something because you're working over 40 hours with both. You've got, you know, both of them demanding a lot of your time. You've got the family as well. And lucky to have a very supportive wife who pushed you into the right thing and encouraged you to follow your passion and take a chance to join that business. But man, I didn't think about it before, but such a big and risky move to do that when you've got 3 kids and you're giving up that full-time job, but also really key that you had gotten out of debt. So you were in a much better financial situation than maybe a lot of people might've been in going into that business. And you had started to bring in some income on the side, which is important as well. But I know from listening to your story in the past that once you got into it, it wasn't like you were rolling. You still struggled for a couple of years building up that business before you were able to replace the insurance income, right?
Yeah. Oh gosh. The first year. So January 1st, 2008 was my very first year. In fact, check this out. 10 years ago, we're recording this on January 2nd. Yeah, it was literally 10 years ago. Yesterday was my first time full-time self-employed Cliff Ravenscraft business owner, whatever that means.
Wow.
So the thing is I had a few things awesome going for me. Number one, I had 12 years of the most incredible sales training you could ever possibly imagine. So I the top salespeople in the world, you've probably heard of the names like Brian Tracy and stuff like that. I've been to their sales schools, all right? So I've been trained by the best in sales. And also 12 years of customer service in an insurance agency. And then most of my employee lifetime, even before that, had tons of customer service experience. So I had all of that going for me. What I had no idea about though was pricing, products, just how do you operate a business? What are all the ins and outs? Thankfully, the first person I hired was a CPA who handled all of my taxes and stuff like that. And of course, I did know about health insurance. So I actually sold myself into individual health insurance policy. The business was profitable its first year. And by profitable, what I mean is that it paid for all of its overhead. And by the way, Andy, one of the things that I had already put my notice in, and the first thing that really freaked me out was the first time I placed an order for a toner cartridge replacement for my laser printer.
And you have to pay for it yourself.
It was $190.
I know that feeling.
$190 for toner in my print. And then all of a
highway
sudden,
robbery.
Do you know how many toner cartridges? I used to order like boxes of 10 of them for the insurance agency and never thought once about it. And I had no idea. Reams of paper. It's like, yeah. I was buying paper reams at a time. I used to buy cases of paper. Yeah. But then all of a sudden I learned that paper is like 3 cents a sheet. What the heck?
You gotta be more careful with that stuff.
I mean, like, this is insane. How can anybody have a profitable business with these costs? And here I'd lived a lifetime of an employee. And you know, as an employee, $27 an hour seemed like a lot of money. And so working for myself in January 2008, how most of my income came in was coaching and consulting people on podcasting. I was charging $50 an hour.
It felt like a lot to you in the beginning.
It felt like I felt like guilty for charging people. Because here's the thing. I had so much of my struggle financially in my business. By the way, the business was profitable. It paid all of the overhead, paid for benefits, for health insurance, for our family. all of that stuff. But for the first 9 months, the only reason the business was quote unquote profitable, as the IRS considers it to be profitable, is that for the first 9 months, there was no payroll paid to the only employee, AKA me.
Right.
And the reason why is because I had so much mindset stuff that I had to shift. So starting with the pricing, $50 an hour. I'll never forget when I did convince people to hire me at $50 an hour, all of us, which by the way is not easy to do for a lot of reasons. Mm. Number one, it's not easy to convince somebody to hire you at $50 an hour if number one, you're not fully 100% confident in charging it. Yeah. When you start to, if you start even hinting at, I apologize, maybe I could give you, you know, all
you
this
don't,
stuff.
You don't think it's worth it. So why should they think it's worth it?
Exactly. And you'd be surprised how much you telegraph that even though you don't think you are. So it's hard there. Number two, it's hard to convince somebody to hire you at $50 an hour because anybody who is reasonable, who understands the fact that you just created a business for yourself, that you just left your very cushy day job, and that you have a stay-at-home mom and three kids, I will tell you right now, if I would have a hard time in good conscience encouraging anyone by hiring them at $50 an hour if they were in the position that I was. And I'm convinced there were people who wouldn't pay me $50 an hour because they would like to see me fail as quickly as possible to go back and get the day job. Because at $50 an hour, they knew I was going to be driving my kids to a house under the bridge. Jeez. Called a cardboard box.
Right. Yeah, it wasn't sustainable.
So they knew it wasn't sustainable. And there's a third reason why it's hard to get people to convince you or to convince people to hire you at $50 an hour is because if you're only charging $50 an hour, you're full-time self-employed. If you're charging $50 an hour, what you are communicating is, I really have low confidence in the value that I have to offer you.
Yeah. It's
and I did not... Much. I did not know it. So instead, here's another mindset thing that I had going for me. I had somehow been conditioned or programmed to think that the more you hate the work that you're doing, the more you should get paid to do it.
Compensation, yeah.
Yeah. So, and how did this work out for me? My dad would say, hey, what do you think about if I pay you extra to do this? Oh, no, I'm sorry. I really don't want to do it. Well, how about if I pay you this much? No, I still really don't want to do that. How about if I pay? Okay, yes, I'll do that. So, and what about things that are difficult? The more difficult and taxing and challenging and exhausting the work is, the more money you should get paid to do it.
Right.
Those are two things that I felt about money. That was my mindset about...
But if it's effortless and you love to do it,
then all of a sudden here, Andy, I told you I've been a tech guy since I was a kid, right? Yep. So I have people paying me $50 an hour. Let's just say you and I just did a consulting call for 2 hours. And dude, I just had the time of my life. Now you got exactly what you needed. You had no clue about any of the stuff that I just taught you. And now I've communicated it into a way that it makes perfect sense to you. You're super happy. All right. Yep. But here I am, by the way, still, it's the curse of the familiar is the phrase. Yeah. Is this stuff comes so natural to me. I'm thinking I'm probably just telling you things you already know.
Right.
But
exactly.
I didn't realize how much I was literally unloading on them. I was dropping wisdom on them.
Yeah.
And I had no clue. But so I'm sitting here just telling them things that I think they probably already know. And I'm just in all this stuff, but they're loving it. And then it's time for me to invoice them. And I'm like, I'm freaking out about sending ice. Like after the 2 hours, I feel like you should send me an invoice because I just
had a good time.
I had such a great time.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, long story, not so short, I had mindset issues. I pricing $50 an hour. I stayed at $50 an hour probably for the first 3 or 4 months. And then I went to $95 an hour. Why 95? Because I didn't feel confident at 100.
Felt too big, yeah.
I could do 95. And then I remember trying to go from, I did go from 95 to 150. And by the way, when I got to 150, I started to see people take me seriously. And it got to the place where about 7 out of 10 people hired me. Hmm. And I'll never forget this one story. I got to the place where it was 2 years into my business. I think it was 2010. And actually, no, it's 2011. So it's 3 years into my business. I'm ready to change my rates and I'm going to go from 150 to 200 per hour. I'm doing as much consulting as I possibly can within a week and still be able to do the other activities, my business that are necessary to maintain more inflow of customers coming in. And so I went to my mastermind group and I said, guys, I want to ask for your opinion. Tell me what you think. I'm thinking about raising my rates from $150 to $200 per hour. And they said, absolutely not. And I'm like, yeah, I was kind of concerned that I was trying to be too greedy too. They said, no, you absolutely must double your rates to go to $300. And I'm like, nah. And so I won't go into all of it, but I'll just say that they spent an entire hour trying to convince me to go to $300. And by the end of it, it wasn't happening. And they said, okay, you must go to 200. And they explained that if you try, with the way that you feel about charging somebody 300, you'll find that you'll actually start losing customers rather than gaining them. And so you, if, because again, you'll telegraph the fact that you're not confident. So I, as soon as I got off the call, the next time somebody asked me, what's your rates? 200. And again, I started to notice even a higher success ratio of closing. And so I actually was still keeping booked, but even with a $50 an hour jump, and I was working, I don't know, maybe 15 to 20 hours a week with clients nonstop.
Right.
That work, still yeah. wasn't putting the financial, it still wasn't helping me meet anywhere near what I was making in insurance.
Right.
And so I read this article by Peter Schallard called Why People Want to Pay You More. And it was the subtitle is 7 Reasons Why Doubling Your Rates Doubles Your Success. Hmm. And after I read that article, I'm like, okay, my next person who calls or writes in or emails me or whatever, my rate's $300 an hour. And I went to $300 an hour. And I will tell you, almost every single person who asked me how much is your rates, as soon as I was at 300, it's like 9 out of 10.
Wow.
And the only people who didn't hire me at $300 an hour were the ones who said, I desperately would love to work with you. I'm going to have to save up or I can't afford that.
Mm.
And I'm like, whoa. And so it took 3 years to get that mindset from 50 to 300. And today I'm at $1,500 an hour, but I don't even advertise that you can hire me for an hour these days because I don't do very much in that realm. But yeah, that's my little bit of my journey. I don't know where you want to go from there.
Yeah, no, I've heard you talk about that. And I think that's really important for a lot of people that are getting into entrepreneurship, especially in coaching and consulting, which I've done myself and just agonized over what price to charge and being afraid to tell people that you're going to charge for something.
This episode of the Entrepreneur Hot Seat is sponsored by Advantage Performance Group. Advantage is the first place to call when you need leaders to lead, sellers to sell, and your business to flourish. At Advantage, we offer creative learning solutions that can help accelerate leadership development, business acumen, sales performance, and business results. Our clients say we're imaginative, collaborative, insightful, and fun. For more info, visit AdvantagePerformance.com or call us at 415-925-6832. 6832. And now back to the show.
Another thing that I've heard you talk about that's really important there is that you're not just charging for that time, for that 1 hour. You're really charging for all of the experience that you've built up over the years in the past to be able to give them the advice they need in just 1 hour instead of hours of research, right? And that's so important.
Yeah. So here's the thing. My friend Ray Edwards, he's in my Green Room Mastermind. And he suggested last year that I offer a package called A Day with Cliff. And it's $7,500 for 1 day. But the thing is, you actually have to travel to Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky, mm-hmm. and you have to get your own hotel room. And you show up at my place and you'll spend 8 hours with me here in my studio. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Ray, are people really going to pay? He goes, yes, they're going to pay for it. He helped me write the sales copy for it.
Yeah.
And so I sent it to my email list. And sure enough, I've had 3 people pay $7,500. All three people who have traveled to my office and paid me $7,500 for the entire 8-hour day with me, all three of them told me within the first 45 minutes that I had already delivered more value to them than what they paid for the entire experience.
Wow.
Within 45 minutes. And so to go back to what you're saying, is they didn't pay for 8 hours of my day. The people are not paying you for an hour of your time. What I have is 44 years of life experience. I have 12 years of sales training. I have all those years. I have all the technology stuff that I've learned since I was a kid. Not to mention the fact that now, over the past 10 years, I've gone from a miserable failure when it comes to trying to produce income for my business to one that generates a significant amount that would have impressed me for a long time. It still impresses me today how much money I've been able to generate with my business today. And not to mention the fact that just the connections that I've made, the people that are like on my, you know, Rolodex, if you will, the people I could text message at 3 o'clock in the morning and ask for help. I could drop names, but most of your audience would actually know who those people are. And to say that those people are my close personal friends, that's my network. Here's the thing. When you hire me for $1,500 and to get a 1 hour session with me, you're paying for 1 hour of access to all of my experience, to all of my resources, to all of my network that I have built up with all of those relationships. There have been people who have paid me $7,500 who said, oh my gosh, my greatest desire is to interview so-and-so on my podcast. I know you're great friends. And of course, they're not asking me for that. And that would be really weird. And I would be weirded out if people did ask me for that. But the thing is I'm like, so have you asked? And they said, well, yeah. They said, well, here's what I've done. I said, well, what were the results? And they tell me the results. And I say, well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to try these three things and tell me if you don't get your interview within the next 30 days. And if not, reach out and let me know. In that every single case, I was able to tell them what they needed to do to get on the attention of those people. And by the way, I did not go out of my way to usurp my close friends' gatekeepers. All right. I did was teach them a few things about how to get people's attention. You know, you can't just give up after you send an email and somebody's told you no.
Seriously.
let me tell you how to get somebody's attention. But the thing is, there have been times where without telling them what I was going to do, and this isn't somebody that paid for the day with Cliff, but I've had mentoring clients that I've worked with. Like I have a mentoring package where I do 3 1-hour calls within 90 days. And I've had somebody tell me that one of their goals was to interview so-and-so. And it happens to be a close personal friend of mine. I know they're gatekeepers. I know exactly why they told everybody no and why their gatekeepers are telling everyone no and all of that stuff. And I just pick up the phone after I get off that mentoring call, not letting them know that this happened. And I said, hey, I got somebody I think that, number one, you'd make their dream come true. And this person's really in this for the right reasons. And I think it would be a great encouragement to them. It's probably not going to be beneficial to you as far as exposure-wise, but I'm just saying, I think it'd be really incredibly cool if you would reach out and say, hey, I'm available for that interview if you still want to do it.
Yeah.
And then turn around and on a dime, it happens for them. I don't ever promise those kind of things, and I'm very cautious about when I would quote-unquote call in a favor from a close friend that has gatekeepers and stuff like that.
When you're paying for experts, for coaching, things like that, you're getting access not only to their experience, but their network. And they can't always promise that sort of thing. But that's part of the value that you bring, that you have these people in your network and you can leverage those resources to help people if you think that they need it and they deserve it and that sort of thing. And you know, I've leveraged my network to get some pretty awesome interviews on this show as well, asking in the nice way, taking the right approach. Even got the great Cliff Ravenscraft on here, who I know you've helped tens of thousands of people start podcasts and probably get tons of requests. So, you know, I know how valuable this time is, and therefore, you know, I know how valuable that a lot of other people take that very seriously and value your time fairly highly as well. Speaking of network, you mentioned masterminds a couple times, and I wanted to make sure we talk about that because I know that's something that you've been involved with for a long time that has played a role in your success. I know it's something you're really excited about now, and my listeners probably know from hearing in the past that I'm really excited about masterminds as well. I'm in one and I run one. And so I just wanted to hear from you, you know, how have masterminds helped you in the past, and why did you decide to make the move into running masterminds now as part of your business?
Oh, well, I've actually been running a mastermind, the Green Room Mastermind, since October 2010. Mm. And it's not something I is a paid mastermind. It's just one that I started with my friend Pat Flynn back in October 2010. And I will tell you, this one weekly call, we literally have been meeting weekly since October 2010. And it is the most important thing that I do in my business every single week, that 1 hour every week with these guys. And they are, you know, Jim Rohn, who is very popular, productivity business guru from a long time ago. He used to do lots of seminars and conferences. And one of his sayings is that you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. It just so happens that my Green Room Mastermind happens to have six people, including myself. So the five people I spend the most time with, if you will, every week, 1 hour every week, are the people in my Green Room Mastermind. And it just so happens to be all of those people are very well known, very well established in their online followings and businesses and stuff like that. And I got to tell you, having that group of people who are always elevating the bar, the set, always raising the standard. Now, you've been to a Tony Robbins conference recently, yep. So you know all about raising the standard.
Absolutely.
And so every single week, I'm encouraged and inspired to raise my standards, to expand my identity of who I am and what I'm, to expand my mindset about what I'm able to achieve and accomplish in this world and how I'm able to help people and serve people.
Oh, that's really cool. And I'm involved in a group now that is doing the same thing for me. We meet weekly and it's one of the most important meetings of my week that I get really excited about. You made a big leap recently, pivoting from podcast coaching into more general business and life coaching, and masterminds, I know, are part of that. I just wanted to ask, that was because you were known as the podcast answer man. You, again, going back to what you did with insurance, you had a very successful business, something that you knew worked. It was effortless and easy for you. Why did you make this big change to focus more generally on business coaching versus the podcast stuff?
So here's the thing. When I left my career in insurance, I did not leave it so that I could become the world's, you know, renowned podcast coach and consultant. I became a podcast coach and consultant in answer to the question, is there a way that I can make a living, an income that would provide a living for our family that would allow me to entertain, educate, encourage, and inspire others with the content that I create and coaching and consulting. Now, the thing is, I told you again, the backstory, and there's the reason why I shared the ministry bit, is that I've always felt called to be in ministry, to serve others, to encourage others, to help people become more of who they were created to be. All right. And not so much to quote unquote convert them, although that was a very early motivator for me back in my very early evangelical roots. But I've grown since then, and it's no longer about trying to convince anybody to come to my worldview when it comes to faith. But my faith is very much caused me to be driven to serve anyone, regardless of what their faith is and where what their ultimate destination is. I just am convinced that we were all created, and we were all created for a purpose. And I don't necessarily want to coach people in their faith. I want to coach people in their process of whatever it is to take whatever area of their life to the next level. And one of the things that I did love about teaching people to podcast is that it helped people put their message out into the world. For a lot of people, there have been a lot of folks who have just said, you know what, I just want to do something on the side. I just want to build this little thing. And then they start creating this content and they're like, wow, I wonder what life would be like if I could do this. And I loved opening that dream back up inside of people. They were told as a kid, you could be anything you want when you grow up. But when you grow up, you can be anything of one of these 15 occupations that are acceptable and responsible or whatever. So the thing is I love that. But what I get tired of, if you will, is the idea of answering the same 45 questions over and over again. So I've helped over 35,000 people launch a podcast. Wow. And literally, I could probably do a list, and it's 45 questions are the same 45 questions I've been asked over and over again for 10 years. And quite honestly, it just got mind-numbingly boring answering those over and over again. Like literally, 50, 60 emails a day with the same 45 questions every day, 365 days a year for the last 10.
It's time to make a change and do something different.
Yeah. It's like, and now, you know, I have this experience in helping, you know, learning all the things that I've learned to turn this into a profitable online business. And my biggest passion is helping people become more of who they were created to be. And I want to help people who are unfulfilled in their day job escape that mindset of the employee and shift into the mindset of a profitable business owner. But I don't think it has to take 3 to 5 to 10 years. I think you could actually make that shift in as little as 1 year or even in an afternoon, depending on how open you are to exploring what you truly believe. And how open you are to changing what you have always thought to be true previously.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I know that that's yet another reason to pay someone a lot of money who's been down that road before, because you can leverage all of their experience, learn from their mistakes and their experience to make that move faster. And I know you're now offering coaching, live workshops, mastermind, and even working on a future event that I wish we had time to talk more about, but we do have to wrap things up here. So for anybody listening that wants to find out more about what you're doing, maybe sign up for a mastermind or look into coaching with you, Cliff, where do they go to find out more information?
Yeah, it's cliffravenscraft.com. And if you're worried about spelling it, just go to podcastanswerman.com. Either one of them will take you to the same exact place.
Awesome. Cliff, thank you so much for spending time with me today and coming on the Entrepreneur Hot Seat. This has been awesome. I know the listeners will love it. Great story, plenty of value, and really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, Andy. Have a great day. And thanks for the honor for letting me be on your show. I appreciate it.
Awesome, man. The honor was all mine. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Entrepreneur Hot Seat. You can find more information at entrepreneurhotseat.com or my personal website, andystorch.com. Please don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes. And if you have any questions or comments, or if you are looking for ways to take your life and business to the next level, you can send me an email to andy@andystorch.com. Take care.